Praise God. We appreciate the Lord tonight.
Praise God.
And we thank God for all of His blessings.
Hallelujah.
How good the Lord is to all of us tonight.
Amen.
We are so unappreciative sometimes of the blessings of God.
Amen.
But yet I appreciate Him, don't you?
Sure.
Appreciate all of you that are here tonight. We appreciate Brother Mackey coming all the way from Sheridan and people being with us tonight. And any other visitors. If I was a betting man, which I'm not,
sure.
I guarantee you, and Brother Rutledge has already told you about a certain fellow here last night.
Yeah, I didn't mention it.
Said something about that was the longest message he'd ever heard preached. He could let nothing lie. You keep your book. And he couldn't let that go by. Well, I guess I thought I was getting paid for the hour. Hallelujah. It don't really bother me. It really
does.
Praise the Lord. We're glad for the blessings of God.
Sure.
Could you just praise Him today?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We appreciate you being here, and we want to ask God to bless tonight. I'm asking you to listen to the Word of God, and I want you to have in your mind a spirit of acceptance for God's Word. It was said of some people in Acts 17 and 11 that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. So get your minds ready tonight. Bring them in from the far fields of worry. Put them in the house of God and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Tonight I want to preach to you a burden on my heart. I have felt singularly impressed the last few nights for some mysterious reason. Perhaps the next few weeks will show why, the Lord willing. But tonight again I preach with what I feel is God's directive in my heart to you. I pray you'll accept it as the Word of God. Let me read to you a text tonight from the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter. After we have read our text tonight, I want your undivided attention. I'm going to ask you not to follow me along so that I can preach to your heart. I feel God wants to specifically talk to some people here tonight. I don't know your situation, and I don't know what tomorrow holds for you, and I don't know everything about you, but I do know this. Jesus wants to reach you while it is yet day.
Praise
God. Today is the day of salvation.
Sure.
Now is the accepted time.
Right.
2 Corinthians 6 and 2 verifies that.
Right.
I present to you tonight a scene from the past. The glory of a king and a kingdom that used to be. Until God Himself became infuriated with their brazen idolatry and mistreatment of His people. And He sent judgment. Oh, it's a terrible thing when judgment visits your house. He sent judgment. In this 5th chapter of Daniel, judgment came in the form of a writing on a wall by a man's hand. Daniel was sent that he might give the interpretation. And then in verse 24, Daniel told Belshazzar the king. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Medium took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Just a page of history, a reflection of the past. It could be the mirror of the present. God might just be talking to you tonight. My text comes out of verse 28. The word tika, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Are you ready to be weighed in the balances tonight? Are you ready to stand before the judgment bar of God? My text tonight will simply read, the balances are waiting. Let's pray for a move of the Spirit.
Glory to God.
Our Father God Almighty, we pray tonight.
Lord, we need help tonight.
My God, move in the mysterious, magnificent name of Jesus, we pray. Have your way tonight, Lord. Oh God, in your name we pray. Have your way tonight.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God for us. Amen, amen, amen.
You may be seated. We sing a song today, I'll see you in the rapture. And I hope we do. But I hope it'll never have to be said, I'll see you in the judgment. For that will be a terrible day.
Oh God.
A poem by an unknown author goes, what then? When the great busy plants of our cities shall have turned out their last finished work, when the merchants have sold their last orders and dismissed every last tired clerk, when the banks have raked in their last dollar and paid out their last dividend, when the judge of the earth says close for the night and asks for a balance, what then?
What then?
When the choir has sung its last anthem and the preacher has voiced his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died in the air, when the Bible lays closed on the altar and the pews all emptied of men, when the great book is open and we stand before Him, what then?
What then?
What then?
Oh God.
When the actor has played his last drama and the mimic has made his last fun, when the movie has flashed its last picture and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure has vanished and gone out into darkness again, when the trumpet of ages is sounded and we stand before Him, what then?
What then?
What then? What then?
Oh God.
What then?
My Lord.
When the captain repeats his last order and they've captured their last fort and hill, when the long marching column has stopped when the flag has been hauled from the masthead, and from far fields all men are called in, when the world that rejected its Savior is asked for a reason, what then?
Oh God, my Lord.
I wish tonight that God would allow me to talk with you in somber soberness. I would to God tonight that somehow the Spirit could talk to you. What then? If the next minute you were in eternity, if the next minute you had to stand before God, if the next minute you had to face your record, if the next minute you had to be judged, the balances are waiting. Are you ready? What then? In the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter, I introduce to you Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. This is not a Babylon that resides as a relic on history's garbage heap. She was not at that time like some drunken bum watching a broken clock. But she was the mistress of the ancient world. She rose to power somewhere around 536 B.C. Somewhere along that line. Or rather, B.C., she ceased from power, and around 606 she rose.
God forever.
She was a great kingdom and a great power.
Hallelujah.
She was not impotent nor weak. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar was a man that had power.
Sure he was.
Then his son came in, and in tonight's subject, the father evidently is away on a campaign, and Belshazzar, the grandson, is king in his place. And so we present to you a kingdom, a city called Babylon, 60 miles around, 15 miles on each side, a wall 300 feet high, 80 feet wide, and 35 feet into the ground so enemies could not tunnel under. As far as ancient warfare was concerned, Babylon was invincible. The great river Euphrates divided it into two equal parts. Babylon was an idolatrous nation.
Oh, yes.
They bowed down before heathen gods, Ishtar, and all the other gods of gold and silver. One in particular, an image alone, and a table of gold weighed over 50,000 pounds of pure gold. There were over 53 temples and 180 altars in the city alone given to idolatry. Into the midst of all this was an old man by the name of Daniel. He was about 70 years old at this time, having spent his entire life, as it were, in a heathen nation. But he was still true to his God. Belshazzar took advantage of the absence of his dad and called for a party. Isn't that the spirit of the world? Let's party. Have a big time. Hoop it up. Sow your wild oats and do your thing. And verse 1 of Daniel 5 said, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. In this festive hall, he gathered a party to end all parties. Some have described it that they had all sorts of festivities and all sorts of things going on, even as it were trained peacocks that would pull little wagons laden down with the liquors and the dainties and what have you. What a magnificence this overhanging balconies and gardens that Nebuchadnezzar had built. They wanted to party in the midst of plenty. Party in the midst of prosperity. Party while even their enemies were at the gate. They thought they were secure within the confines of the walls of Babylon. And the Medes and the Persians were on the outside, and they couldn't get in. How indicative and how indicting it is of this generation. when damnation and danger is lurking at the very door. We think it's time to party, and it's time to have a good time, and it's time to do your thing. I say it's time to seek God while you can. But he made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. This was not enough. Verse 2 said, then Belshazzar the king commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives, his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the house of God, out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. May I try in feeble efforts to paint this revelry. It wasn't enough to go on a binge and an intoxicating bender. It wasn't enough to be inebriated until you are slobbering like a child. But he had to send for the golden and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had brought back from Jerusalem, the hallowed, sanctified, consecrated vessels that were used in the temple at Jerusalem to worship the true God. And this drunken king, his mind reeking with liquor, he thought to bring it in. And before his concubines and his wives and the 1,000 of his lords, he was gonna, in the face of God himself, drink out of the vessels that were brought from Jerusalem. I don't know just what you think, but I'm preaching to some spirit here tonight. But I'm going to tell you, there's but so far you're going to go with your bold fornication. There's but so far you're going to go with your bold drinking and your bold carousing and your bold barnyard morality. There's but so far you're going to go with your idolatry and this open sin, this bold, brash spirit of iniquity that you possess tonight. Let me tell you, the balances are waiting. They are waiting, lurking in the side, in the antechamber, and in the wings of time. God is ready to weigh you tonight in the balances. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, iron, of wood, and of stone. Then the Bible said, in the same hour there came forth the fingers of a man's hand and rolled over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand. Amen? That amen. He saw the part of the hand. Let me tell you now, in the midst of a drunken stupor with alcohol in his brain, he looked over against the wall. And what did he see? Not a man, but the fingers of a man's hand. And it began to write on that wall. The king rubbed his eyes. Am I seeing nothing but a drunken vision? Is this real? And he looked again. Yes, it's real. In that same hour, in that same hour, a man's hand began to write on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. You might secure your kingdom from the Medes and Persians, but you can't secure it from God. You might keep out the world as far as seeking the pleasures of the world, but if you're not living right, you can't keep out God. You might keep unfriendly people away. You might keep unsavory neighbors away. You might keep others away, but you can't stop the judgment of God. It'll walk into your bedroom. It'll walk into your front room. It'll walk into your car. It'll go where you're working. And I don't care where you live, the hand of God will find you, and it'll scribble on the wall. And God's got a message for you tonight. You better listen. You better listen. You better give vent to the spirit that's in this building tonight, and you better listen. Amen. That's right. The king saw the part of the hand that was writing over there. He looked and he saw it with his own eyes. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. A brash, bold, strong, stalwart, fearless man that didn't worry about the Medes and the Persians on the outside of the wall. He began to lose out and have a nervous breakdown, and his knees smote one against another, and the joints of his loins were loosed. Oh, I know you think you can face any calamity. I know you think you can keep your composure, and I know you think you're a picture of tranquility, and I know you think by some transcendental meditation or some Houdini trick of playing to some false god that you can keep your posture. I don't know who you are tonight, but when the real God of heaven and when the real Lord of lords and the real King of kings begins to talk to you, he'll unloose the joints of your thigh. He'll make your knees knock together. Brother, you don't know what flight is. It would do some of you young people good if you'd get a little fear of God in your heart. What's it going to take for you to know there's a real God world in this world tonight? And you better serve him, and you better love him, and you better praise him. Amen. You think you got everything going your way? God can put such a scare on you, your knees will knock together. Oh, yes, he can. Then the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. These devil practitioners, these followers of far-out cults, these that through trickery of mind and sorcery of heart came tripping into the banquet room. Yes, the dishes were quiet now. The booze was put away now. And the fumes of intoxication had left their brains quickly now. And this drunken mob had sobered up in a moment. And when these magicians came in and they looked at that writing and they scratched their head and they went through their all sorts of the contortions that they go through, I don't know how all they do it, but they couldn't read the writing. They couldn't understand what was going on. Now you might go to a gypsy queen, and you might go to a crystal ball, and you might go to boiled tea leaves, and you might pray to the moon, and you might seek after the gods of wood and stone. But I'm going to tell you something in the power of the Holy Ghost. There's but one God that's got the understanding. There's but one God that's got the understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belteshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. It was a few moments before a night of frolic and revelry, and just a few moments later, somber, sober quietness. That's how quick God can jerk things in line. That's how quick God can change things. That's how quick he can take that laughter out of your teeth, that snarl out of your face, that mimic out of your eyes, that poking fun out of your face. That's how quick he can take it out. You hear this preacher tonight? You better listen to the gospel tonight. You better listen to the Spirit of God that's here tonight. Hallelujah! Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom. Oh, in the midst of the soothsayers, the magicians, in the midst of all the astrologers. Amen? And the Chaldeans, in the midst of those that plot their destiny by the conflex of stars and the intersection of the moon, in the midst of all of that, God had a man. In the midst of heathenism, of idolatry, in the midst of seeking for the riddle of life's answers to the earth itself, God had a man. He had a man in the guise of Joseph. He had a man in the guise of Moses. He had a man in the guise of Joshua. He had a man in the guise of Caleb. He had a man in the guise of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had a man in the guise of Isaiah. He had a man in the guise of Habakkuk. He had a man in the guise of Micah. He had a man in the guise of Nahum. He had a man in the guise of Malachi. He had a man in the guise of Zechariah. He had a man in the guise of Zephaniah. He had a man in the guise of Obadiah. He had a man in the guise of Haggai. God's got him a man. Now, I don't know where you're going for the answers. I'm preaching to a spirit tonight, and I bind it in Jesus' name. I'm coming face to face with a spirit tonight. I don't know where you're going for your answer, but you can brew the tea leaves, and you can look to the sun, moon, and stars. But God's got a man. He's got a church in this world that's going to preach his word. And you don't have to go to astrology, and you don't have to go to Satanism, and you don't have to go to fortune tellers, and you don't have to go down and look at a horoscope to find out how to live tomorrow. God's got a man. He can read and tell you the mind of God. You better listen to this preacher tonight, for the balancers are waiting. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. You're going to stand in the presence of God. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was given unto him. Amen. Whom thy king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, I say, the king, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Yes, sir. This Daniel was the master of them. He wasn't just one of them. He was the master of them. Now, you can believe what you want, but what I've got tonight is the master of every occult, every kind of a fake religion, every kind of an idolatrous practicing worship. This is the master of it tonight. I'll take the name of Jesus, and I'll put it up beside Buddha and Confucius and Zoroaster and Mohammed. I'll take the name of Jesus, and I'll put it up aside the Moonies, and I'll put it up aside Satan worshippers. I'll put it up aside any kind of a name you can drag up. There's power in the name of Jesus tonight. Power, power, power over witchcraft, power over horoscopes, power over astrology. Shame on some of you Holy Ghost people plotting your future above the stars. Shame on some of you Holy Ghost people plotting your future by horoscopes. You're so superstitious, you stink. I bind that spirit tonight. I say, when you got the Holy Ghost, God liberated you from that spirit. Hallelujah. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and then showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts was found in Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he'll show thee the interpretation. You've tried everything else, now call Daniel. You went through your hocus pocus, your Eli locus. You went through your open sesame. You went through your money, pony, money, pony, money, pony, now call Daniel. You went through all your magicians. You went through all of your soothsayers. You went through all those cockeyed warped personalities that come in and tried to act like because they were far out or some sort of a goofy looking character, they had some psychic understanding. Now go call Daniel. Clean cut Daniel. Wise old Daniel. Righteous old Daniel. Faithful old Daniel. Who for 70 years had not bowed a knee to Balaam or bowed a knee to a false god or bowed a knee to the star. Call on Daniel. Daniel's got the answer. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said to Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of jewelry? I've heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now these men, and now the wise men, the astrologers, have come in before me, and they have not been able to read the writing, neither to make known the interpretation thereof. They couldn't do it. I understand, Daniel, that you can do it. Before this stunned crowd, this drunken ballroom of revelry, this stoop-shouldered, white-haired old man of Israel come in. Right in the middle of all of this drunken debauchery and revelry, women with their clothes half off of them, men with leering, lustful looks a few moments ago in their eyes suddenly sobered up as a judge. Daniel walks in. You see, judgment was coming. And I'm preaching to somebody tonight. God's had enough of your iniquity. God's had enough of your brazen sin. God's had enough of your open revelry. And it's time you was put in the balance. It's time to see whether you had the goods. It's time to see whether you can balance out or not. And I'm pleading with you tonight, before this service is over, that you'll get right with God before it's too late. Amen. Amen. That they might read this writing, make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed. Amen. Yes, sir, you're going to be clothed with crimson. Shalt have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler of the kingdom. And the old king, he paraded out all the enticements of his kingdom. Daniel, if you'll just tell me what that says, I'm going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, oh, listen to what he had to say to this king. Amen, amen. And I would to God every one of our preachers could hear this tonight. That's vying for political inspiration and jockeying for influence at the State House and at the White House and with senators and congressmen. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have friends at court, but if you think that our hope lies in getting all the wise men saved and the governors and the mighty men saved, you're going to spend your life in a fruitless search of futility. That's right. Amen. Amen. Daniel spoke to this king and he said, let thy gifts be to thyself and thy reward to another. Don't bless me with it, you keep it. I don't want what you've got to give out. And some of us will dance to the tune of politics, so they'll smile on us with some variance or smile on us with some smile from the courthouse or the state house or some house. And we think, oh, we're doing good. But it better not compromise your gospel. It better not compromise your stand with God. And you better not let gifts silence your tongue. And you better not let gifts silence your gospel. Come on now! Daniel stood in the face of that king and he said, that thy gifts be to thyself and thy reward unto another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and will make known to him the interpretation. I'm going to read it for free. I'm going to tell you, not charge you a cent. I'm going to stand here and tell you what that writing said, and I'm not even going to take an offering. You can keep your gift. lips, and you can keep your money, and you can keep your position. I don't want to be chaplain at the prison, and I don't want to open the county seat of authority with prayer. You don't have to invite me to your ministerial list. Just keep your presence. I'm going to read it to you for free. I'm going to tell you what God said, and it's not going to cost you anything. Now, I don't know how you feel, and I'm not damning and dooming everything down the line, but I'm going to tell you, Pentecost does not need to be hindered, nor does it need to be hampered with the reins of politics. You better be willing to preach the truth in the mayor's office, as well as the senator's office, as well as the congressman's office. You better not let it take your mouth shut, and you jump on some poor common man and tell him he's got to repent or he's going to bust hell wide open. You better preach the same gospel at the courthouse that you preach down on Amen Main Street. You better preach it everywhere you go. God, give us Daniel! I'm going to tell it to you for free, he says. O thou king, the most high God gave thy father Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, that's right, for all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. And whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, that's right, amen, he was disposed from the kingly throne, and they took the glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his mind, his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild ass. That's right, his dwelling was with the asses. That's what the Bible said. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. What Daniel was reminding Belshazzar was your granddad Nebuchadnezzar. I thought you'd learn something from him. He got too big and too high and strutted around saying, isn't this Babylon that I built? And God told him one day, I'm going to take your reason from you. I'm going to take your mind from you. And you're going to be like a beast of the field. And your hair will go long and your fingernails will go long till seven times passes over you. Now Belshazzar, you should have learned from that. You lived in the midst of iniquity. All kinds of rebellion was around you. You had every kind of example to know God's going to judge sin. And yet you brazenly go on. You're getting into balance tonight. You better check up and see. You better listen to this preacher. You better listen to this preacher. You better listen to this preacher. And thou, O king. My God, you knew everything about this. But here you are in this banqueting house, a drunken bum. Oh, God. Will you never learn? Will you never learn that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will? Amen. 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 Thou art his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Though thou knowest this, you went into this drunken brawl knowing full well who God was. You had heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You knew who God was. Yet you rushed in where angels feared to trot. And you knew this, and you didn't humble your heart. That's right. And you went on, though thou knowest this, and hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see nor hear nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? My God, what boldness! He stood there and looked a man in the eye. He looked him right in the teeth, and he said, Belshazzar, you didn't learn your lesson, but you went and exalted yourself like Nebuchadnezzar, your granddad, did. You've exalted and lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. You drunk wine out of vessels that had been consecrated to the Lord's use. And you, in your revelry, have praised the gods of gold and silver that neither see nor know nor hear, and the God who holds your breath in his hand, and who's all of thy ways, hast thou not glorified? I'm preaching somebody's funeral tonight. God's tired of your drunken revelry. He's tired of your open sin. You refuse to acknowledge his name. Even in the house of God, you haven't reverenced his spirit. And God is tired of you profaning the vessels of his temple. We are not a priesthood tonight, but this is still God's house. And his name is here. And I respect this house of God. And I love the spirit that's here tonight. And if I was you children, I'd be attentive in the house of God. If I was you mamas and dads, I'd hear the word of God in his house. If I was you tonight, I wouldn't let my mind wander to a thousand places like you've been doing. But I'd say, God, I'm here to worship you. I'm here to praise your name. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to glorify you. Let's do it right now. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all of thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him. He got enough of it. You took one sip too many. You bowed before a God of stone one too many times. Then was the hand sent from him. And this writing was written. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You're through. It's all over, but the crime. It's finished. You don't need to try to patch it up now. You can scour and cleanse the vessels of the temple and slip them back in the vault, but it's too late now. You've done profaned his name. You've done slapped him in the face. You're finished. You're through. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. I love my country. I respect the freedom of religion we all have. But I'm scared to death that America is on a collision course with God's anger. I'm scared to death that when our founding forefathers built first the church and then the school, now it's millions for education, millions for pleasure, millions of possessions, but little for God. Oh, maybe God's numbered our days. Oh, I'm talking to you now. You have forsaken him days without number. You haven't come to the revival like you should. You've laid out with no excuse. You've let your feelings get the best of you. You've said things you shouldn't have said. You've went places you shouldn't have gone. You harbored feelings you should never have had. God has numbered your days. He's finished that. Don't ever think you're sitting here tonight. And God's got to have this church. And he's got to have you. He can raise up stones out of the very streets of Pine Bluff and make him a church. We need him more than he needs us. We need his blessings tonight. Let's say praise the Lord! Chico! Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Art found wanting. Peary. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Oh God. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel. Yes, they did, with put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In the midst of the debris of a drunken revelry, they crowned him the third ruler of the kingdom. But the next verse said, in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Medium took the kingdom, being about 80 years and 2. That's right. Now you see, he was on the outside of that wall. But a couple deserters told him about a channel that could be diverted. And so he changed the course of the river Euphrates. And while Belshazzar was in a drunken brawl, the waters trickled away, and the riverbed was drawn up that they could march under the wall. And he marched in and took the city. Now let me tell you, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Some of you in the sound of my voice are backslid and you won't acknowledge it. You don't have an ounce of victory and you won't acknowledge it. If the trumpet sounded tonight, you wouldn't get an inch off of the ground. If you got put in the balances, you'd be found wanting. I've watched you. You don't clap your hands. You won't raise your hands. You don't worship like you ought to worship. You mean to tell me you're ready for the balance? If you were put in there tonight, you'd be found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. I don't wish to prolong this, but God has laid this on my heart. I will not elaborate continually, but I'm going to put you in the balance tonight. Let's see what happens when you go in there. Let me put you there tonight. All right, let's go to the balances of God. In Proverbs 6:16, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Did you find yourself? Let me go on. In the book of Exodus 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that means your husband, your wife, your children, your job, your house, your money, your education. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself before them nor serve them. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. We don't bow before heathen gods. We don't bow before gods of wood. We don't pray the good luck charms. We don't develop any kind of faith in a lucky horseshoe. We don't bow before a dead man who's dead and buried and gone forever. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Are you put in the balance? You're going to be one of these days. Verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You hear me? For he shall not hold him guiltless. That does this. You curse his name. You spit out those cuss words. And you use them just every other breath. You better watch what you're doing. God's going to put you in the balance. Verse number 12. Honor thy father and mother, that thou mayest live long. Yes, sir, son. You better respect old dad. And daughter, you better respect mama. As long as you're home, you better do what they tell you to do. And if they tell you to get your stinking long hair out of your eyes and off of your ears and off of your collar, you better do it. And if they tell you to be in at a certain time, you better do it. And when it comes time to go to church, you better not fuss with old dad or fuss with old mom. You better say, I'm going to go to church. Honor thy father and thy mother. Are you ready to go into the balances tonight? Verse number 13 tells me, in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, thou shalt not kill. 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. 15, thou shalt not steal. 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Are you ready for the balances tonight? Let me ask you, 12:1 of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I'm preaching Sunday morning on Saturday night. Gouge that man beside you that's asleep. I'm going to preach to you now. The balances are ready. Are you ready to get in them? You have held back. You have held back. You've wore your body out to make a fast buck. You've wore your body out in order to get an extra family room and have another car. But have you fasted a meal? Have you dedicated an hour of prayer? Have you given your body a living sacrifice? God don't want your sheep. He don't want your rams. He don't want your goats. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. Are you ready for the balances? Are you ready for the balances? Jesus said in 26:40 of Matthew, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I'm not trying to be harsh, but my heart's full tonight. Some of you haven't made a trip to the prayer room. I've come in here and you've sat in here and you've run your mouth like a bunch of flock of geese and chickens. And you've sat here right at the church time with your mind on the world and your mind on your job and your mind on other things. No wonder God can't break in here. You've got to come before His presence prepared. If you're ever going to have revival, you better listen to this preacher. You're going to have to learn to go to the prayer room. You're going to have to learn to kneel and get a hold of God. Come on! Come on! We'll spend more time in Kmart and more time at Singer Sewing Machine and more time at the new car garage and more time somewhere else than we do in prayer. You hear this preacher tonight? Are you ready for the balances? Have you prayed today? Come on! Answer me tonight! Have you prayed today? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Amen. Amen. 18:1 of Luke said, men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Amen. That's what it said. Amen. Hallelujah. 4:6 of the book of Philippians, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. I know why some of you don't get your touch from God. But listen to me. I'm not going to be with you long, but God spoke to me. I know why you don't. You come sliding in here at the last second and go through the motions and then go home. Brother, if you want deliverance and you want a move of God, you've got to want it more than you want anything else in this world. God is not a dummy. He knows when you love Him with all your heart and with all your mind and with all of your soul. Are you ready for the balances tonight? Are you ready for the balances tonight? Let me preach on to you. In the book of Galatians 5:19. Let me talk to you now. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If any one of those attributes fit you, you're not ready for the balance. In 6:7 of Galatians, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor idolatrous person, nor covetous man hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You better listen to me tonight. If any of these things got you, you better repent. You better get it out of your heart, because you're not ready for the balance. Amen. 2 Timothy 3 now. The Bible said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. From such turn away. Revelation 21 in verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part. Shall have their part. Hear me, Belshazzar. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 22:15 of Revelation. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You better listen to me tonight. If any of these subjects, any of these statements got a hold of you, you're not ready to go to the balance. You're not ready to be weighed tonight. You're not ready. No, you're not ready. Let me preach some more to you. Have you studied any bit? This business of getting up and just blowing off, that's been some of our trouble in Pentecost. People say, well, the Lord opened my mouth and he'll fill it. I've heard some of their sermons. He fills it with hot air. Yes, sir, young people's leader. Yes, sir, young preacher. Yes, sir, Sunday school teacher. You better hear me tonight. You better learn to study the Word of God. Are you ready for the balance? Chapter 5 and verse 39 of John. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there they will testify of me. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Timothy 4 and 16. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy 4 and 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap each of themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But what thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let me tell you something tonight. You ought not to want a preacher just to tell you some sad story, just to tell you some funny tale. You ought not to want somebody to preach to you tradition. You ought to want a man of God that'll tell you the truth, that'll tell you where you stand, that'll tell you what the Bible says, and you ought to want to love it, that you won't run off when it's preached to you, but you're going to hang in here, you're going to stay in here, you're going to support this church, and you're going to stand behind this church, and you're going to say, oh, pastor, don't worry about me. My wife may get mad, but I'm not. My husband may get mad, but I'm not. My children may get mad, but I'm not. You preach to me the Word of God. You tell me what it says. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Praise the Lord! Let me put you in the balance tonight. God laid every one of these verses on my heart. I know I'm going on and on, but I couldn't sleep tonight if I didn't tell you what God told me. I'm not going through a play act role. If you think it's just some sort of a program I'm going through, you're crazy, man. That's what you are. You're just out of your tree, zapped out of your mind, and you just well bug off because you don't have a lick of sense. You've got a double portion of quintessence of consummate inane imbecile and hopeless ass in it, eh? You're a stupid oaf. That's what you are. You're a dum-dum. Let me tell you tonight, you better hear the Word of God. Yes, sir. And you better come to church when you went to work. Some of you have went to work and you've wore your body to a frazzle and you've come home and you said, wife, fix me a bite of supper and I'm going to hit the hay. Yeah? And something else you're going to hit too. If you don't straighten up, if you've had strength to go to work, you've got strength to go to church. If you've had strength to make a buck, you've got strength to give a buck. If you've had strength to go out and shop and run around town, you've got strength to come to the house of God. But some of you, I've refrained. God only knows. I've reached the high road in this revival. I've tried my best to reach for the stars. But God's already told me now. You've come in here all tuckered out. And you haven't worshipped. You've expected God to do it for you. He's not going to do it for you. But you say, preacher, I've worked hard. So what? If you worship Him with a tired body, He gets more glory. If you worship Him with a tired mind, He gets more glory. Let me put you in the balance. Hebrews 10 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching.
Yes.
If I was to ask you, times are bad. You say, oh, preacher, they're terrible. Prisons are rioting. And my Lord, war rumors of war, pestilences and famines in diverse places. And you can't trust a politician. Even school teachers are doing unspeakable things against nature. And oh, I just don't know about anybody today. And then you stay home and watch the show on TV when you need to be in church. And you stay home and read the funny papers and the funny books and funny Ann Landers and Abigail Abbey. And stay home and read the horoscope and chart your course tomorrow by the conflex of the stars. You reprobate, you double hypocrite, you ungodly sinner, you need to pray through. Why, if God was to put you in the balance tonight, you would not weigh out. You would be found wanting. Saints of God, we need to get stirred up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me put you in the balance tonight. 3 and verse 8 of the book of Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Amen. Even this whole nation. That's right. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I don't have to preach but one verse. I started to get a bunch of them, But God condemned me. He said, you don't need to preach a bunch on that section, son. Just tell them one verse. I said, yes, Lord, what is it? Just tell them the verse that I said. If they won't take what I said when I was on earth in the flesh, they'll never pay their tithes. I said, all right, Jesus, what did you say? He said, tell them Matthew 23:23. Here's what it said. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise in common, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Jesus said you ought to pay your tithes. And if Jesus suggested something, I'm going to do it. Brother, if he would just whisper real low, you ought to get in a gunny sack and go over Niagara Falls to be saved. I've been looking for a gunny sack. That's right. If he whispered real low and say, you ought to ride a charging Brahma bull through a China shop and not break a dish, I'd be riding a bull through every China shop in the country. That's how I believe Jesus. He said you ought to pay your tithes. And the word said bring them all into the storehouse. You don't divide them up around the country. You bring them where you get your food, where you get your nourishment, where you get your blessing. And you can't rob God and be a saint. If you owe your tithes tonight, you better pay up. Because if God puts you in the balance and you got your tithes unpaid and you paid your electric bill and you paid your water bill and you paid your house payment and your car payment with your tithes, and you said next week or next month, what if God was to put you in the balance tonight? He said, these ought to you have done. My God, are you ready for the balance tonight? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let me tell you some more. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We've legislated such a straitjacket of righteousness. If some poor old backslider wallowing in a hog pen of despair suddenly come to himself and walked in our doors reeking of alcohol, been popping the pills, gambling at the racetrack, loose morals, we'd look at him with our long noses of righteousness and we'd say, what are you doing here? And what do you think you're going to be? Let me tell you, we ought to have enough love of God that the most vile sinner, the most sot drunkard, the most ungodly harlot, the most profane fornicator, the most lascivious man or woman could walk in these doors, and when he walks in, he feels something. It'd be the love of God reaching out and saying, come on, son, we love you. Come on home, dad, we love you. Come on back home, mom, we love you. Come on back home, daughter, we love you. That's what it ought to be. Some of you need a baptism of love. You better hear this preacher. You want people to forgive your children and people to forgive your family, and you have not extended the same forgiveness to other people. Let me tell you, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I say mercy is a two-way street. I say this thing is reciprocal tonight. I say if you want mercy, you better give a little mercy. If you want love, you better give a little love. Hallelujah! Come on, shout over that tonight! Hallelujah! You can't shout over this, you better not shout over a song. I'll squash your spirit sure in the world. Let me put you in the balance tonight. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, this is going to fit a lot of you, and I believe in the Spirit I could find out who some of you are, that we henceforth be no more children. That's the trouble with some of you gray-haired people. You are old in body, but you're a child in your mind. You're so nitpicky and so sensitive. And any little thing that's said wrong, you're going to pout and stay home a year. Let me tell you, I learned a long time ago. If you're going to live for God, you better get the hide of a rhinoceros and the backbone of a sorrel. And you better get a face set right flint. And you better set your jaw and plant your foot. And no matter what anybody says or don't say, no matter if the preacher shakes your hand or don't shake it, you're going to go to church. You're going to worship God. You're going to get your blessing. But you don't want a pastor. No, you don't. There's people sitting in this building tonight that don't want a pastor. They want a maestro of a sideshow. They want a medicine man of some sort of juggling act, you know. They want somebody to pop a few funnies, but they don't want a pastor. They want to sing in the choir and suck their cigarettes. They want to play in the orchestra and then go out and do their thing. Let me tell you, obey them that have the rule over you. A pastor's not a dictator, but as long as he preaches the word of God, you are duly bound to obey it. You may not agree, but you better not disagree. You may not agree, but you better not be inharmonious and discordant and go around spreading all kinds of trouble. You better keep your mouth shut. God will visit your home with trouble. Yes, he will. He'll visit your life with trouble. He's not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. You wonder why your kids don't listen to you. Maybe you won't listen to your pastor. God give your pastor to help you, to lead you, to guide you. Come on now. Hallelujah. Obey them that have the rule over you. It won't hurt if you just resign your office every year. I don't make any difference who you are. You're not indispensable. Just every year, maybe even every, it won't hurt to do it, maybe every week, just say, Pastor, now you can take me out. And mean it. Don't mean it, you know, take me out, and then don't mean it, and puff up like a toad. Yes, sir. Hey, some people, let me tell you the measure of a man. It's not when they elect him to a high office, or when they put him up at the head table, or when he can sit up front. That's not the measure of his character. It's when he's got to come down. It's when he's got to give up the office and sit down with the rest of us. And if he comes down with no rancor and no bitterness, but he's still going to cooperate down there like he did up here, I say you got a man on your hands. But if you got somebody that comes down with bitterness, come on now, that comes down with strife and comes down a kicking and a snorting and rebellion, you don't have a man on your hands. You got a panty waist. You got a man with backbone like spaghetti. You got a jellyfish. You got a painted cloud. That's what you got. God, give us men in the pulpit. Come on, give us men. I know I'm ranting and raving. I know that. But you better listen to me. Belshazzar didn't listen to what happened to his granddaddy Nebuchadnezzar. And he thought he could go on, and he found out God can pull the rug out from under him. You may have money tonight. You may have good security tonight. You may have health. You may have a good home, a good wife, a good husband, good children. But don't tell me God can't yank the rug out from under you. You better keep a little humble spirit about you. Come on! Let's praise the Lord. For the benefit of sinners tonight, are you ready for the balances? Are you ready for the balance? Are you ready for the balance? Jesus said, repent or you're going to perish. Luke 13 and 3. 3:19 of Acts, repent, be converted. 17:30 of Acts, God winked at ignorance once, but now commandeth men everywhere to repent. You're going to go to the balance. Acts 2:38 said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Amen. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 18 said, only they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. 10:48 of Acts said, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Just about any other version you want to pick up said in the name of Jesus Christ there. Acts 19:5 said when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Sinner, are you ready for the balance? You need to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. For Romans 8:9 said, without the Spirit of Christ, you're going to hear. And verse 11 said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelled in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I want to be ready for the balance. If God was to call me tonight and say, son, I want to put you in the balance. I want to be ready. I want to have every sin under the blood. I want to have all differences with my brothers patched up. I want all bitterness out of my heart. I want everything right. I'm glad I've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want to say like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing. Are you ready for the balance? Let me tell you, it's coming, friend. As sure as you're sitting here tonight, judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. Would you stand with me right now? I want to preach to you just about 3 or 4 more minutes. Listen to me now. Judgment day is coming. Jesus is going to come and rapture a church. There will be 7 years of tribulation. There will be battle of Armageddon. Judgment of the living nations at that time will be given. Then 1,000 years will be a millennial reign while Satan is bound. He will be loosed at the end and one final rebellion. Then he'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And then will come what I'm fixing to tell you. The great white throne of judgment. Just as sure as you're standing here tonight, if you die without repenting, and die without being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost, you're going to go to the white throne of judgment. Chapter 20 of the book of Revelation and verse number 11 said, and I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to the works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Does that mean anything to you tonight? Are you going to be another Belshazzar? Are you going to be another Nebuchadnezzar? Is a white-haired old man you're going to have to walk in and pronounce judgment on you? Is God going to have to write on your living room wall, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting? Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Young people, what do you weigh tonight? Young man, what do you weigh tonight? Mom, what do you weigh tonight? In the light of these scriptures, what do you weigh? Some of you saints ought to be screaming down at this altar tonight. Your pedigree's been read. God has talked to you tonight. You need to be in this altar right now seeking God. Let's praise the Lord, everybody.